Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Y'all, another Tuesday, the Crab Feast. Vote for that ass. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Well, let me be always tell the truth. It's great to touch your pitch,
great to touch your six.
And I got nervous when you went on that low register because it took a lot out of me right away. I wasn't expecting that.
You know, it's funny.
You almost got me right there.
Trust me, I heard you start to quiver a little bit. I had to shake it out, like
it kicked out of
fourth gear. I was coming out of that final turn. I'm like, am I going to take sickle today? And then I almost passed out.
You almost did. I did too. I'm not even going to lie.
I thought if I started down there, I could go longer. And then you came in like, oh, shit. Like, I heard you.
I couldn't find it.
No, you couldn't find it.
I was weeding through the racks of clothes looking for your pitch.
Looking for that discount plan. Feaster Nation, great to be here with you in the beautiful month of November. Jay Larson here, jaylarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy across all social media. Big thanks and appreciation, everybody in Phoenix and Houston and Denver. I had a wonderful time being out there and seeing so many of you making such a great effort to, you know, just make it out to shows and then also just to share your appreciation. It was just amazing to see you. And we had such great guests with Adam Caton Holland and Jeff Tyson Denver and Steve Cananwell out in Houston. and thanks to the All Things Comedy Festival for having me out there and doing some great shows with Natasha Leggera, Moshe Kasher, and Big J Okerson and Ari Shaffir. I had a lot of fun at that festival for sure. And this week, I'm getting into the final push of my tour. Tomorrow night, I'm in Philadelphia. Thursday night, D.C. Friday night, Brooklyn. Saturday, Boston. Portsmouth, New Hampshire on Sunday. Go get your... There are still tickets left for Boston and some tickets left for New York. So go, jaylarsoncomedy.com. If you don't have them yet, I'm hurt. I'm personally hurt. So go out there and get those tickets. And then the week after that will be the final run with Tulsa and St. Louis and Atlanta. And I push that next week. But this week, Boston, New York are the big ones to go out and get, and D.C. And I hope to see you all this week. It's been a lot of fun being on this tour. Mr. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Instagram and Ryan Sickler on all social media. Apparently, I'm Ryan Sickler official on my Facebook fan page.
What do you mean, apparently? Remember how you used to always push it like that?
I did, and then they have updated it now.
Where
you
really?
Can actually see it on there. You couldn't see that before. Like now, when you go and you use your phone, it'll say at Ryan Sickler official.
Oh, weird.
Blue.
At least my mother will be able to search for
blue check mark. Baltimore, I just want to say thank you so much. The Saturday, November 17th show is sold out. You made me feel good, man. We added a second show Sunday night, Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Sunday, November 18th, it's a 7:30 start. Get your tickets now. They're already going quick. I'm telling you, Baltimore's doing it right. Come on out and see me. Come on out and see Jimmy Josh Adams. You can get tickets on my website and thecrabfeast.com. I'm promoting all over my social media. You have no excuses. I want to make sure y'all know about my new album called Get a Hold of Yourself. It drops everywhere Tuesday, November 20th. But if you just can't wait that long, and I don't blame you, you can pre-order it right now, today, on iTunes, and get an instant download of one of my personal favorite tracks, might even be my favorite track, The Dad Whistle. Feasters, if you really want to help me out, throw up a 5-star rate and review. I need you now more than ever, damn it. Help a single dad out, play it. Help me make this album number one on the comedy charts. I want to do it with you guys. Wherever you listen to comedy, whether it's Spotify or Pandora, you'll be able to get my new album on release day, Tuesday, November 20th. And here's something really cool. Baltimore, you'll be the first people in the world to get it. My shows on the 17th and 18th at the Famous are going to be at an album release shows. And I'll have a limited run of CDs with me. I'll bring those out, and they'll be available for purchase after the show. And you'll be the first people in the world to get it. I'm excited to hopefully pull that off, and I think I will. Another thing we're excited to announce is that FTCF Tuesday and now Hey Hey Playa shirts and hoodies, because you guys demanded it so much, are available on Bonfire. Links are on thecrabfeast.com, all over our social media as well. Get your shirts now before they're gone.
Forever.
And thank you, as always, for all of your support for breast cancer awareness. We did make a donation in support, and you guys have helped us every year through that. So thank you for your contributions as well. Hey, man, it might be a little too late to tell you, but I always like to tell you to subscribe and follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, it'll live forever, so, you know, it's always going to be there.
It's a library that will be there forever, we would like to tell you some information about our new shows.
You know, by the way, in Houston, one guy almost started tearing up to me.
Talking about
the Crab Feast, and told me straight up, he's like, hey, man, I got a this was two dudes in Denver. That was a guy in Houston, and then two guys in Denver. They're like, yo, man, like, we used to work together, and like, I got him into the Crab Feast. So we'd all listen to the Crab Feast, and then he got a new job, and that's been like what's kept us together. Like, every day we'd be like, oh, did you hear about this? You hear about that? And then another couple came up to me, and they're like, yeah, we have a friend that listened to the Crab Feast. Like, he couldn't come tonight. He lived like in another city, but he said when we told him, he cried. He actually teared up. So
it makes I'm not laughing at you, Blay. It just makes you feel good.
Yeah, I know. I think it's amazing, and it's great. Yeah, so Ryan and I, we've been talking about, like, so many people on the road have been like, hey, whatever you guys are doing next, we're gonna follow, we're gonna subscribe. So we have are both gonna launch our own podcasts. Correct?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
And what else?
Well, the good news, I don't want to say too much right now because we're still a couple months out. That's mm-hmm. why I'm stuttering and stammering. But you want me to go first?
Sure.
I'm starting a new podcast. It will still be a storytelling podcast. I love these people's stories. I love sitting down and listening to everyone's life. And in difference to the Crafties, where we're a general storytelling show, maybe you've got a great wedding story and a near death and a drug story and a drinking story and a car accident, I'm going to put a little more focus on the show. Still storytelling with the focus, some different segments that'll be in there as well. And that's really all I'm going to say about
it. You got segments now,
man. That's all I'm going to say about it now. But you will be able to stay right here on this feed and get my new show. You don't have to resubscribe or go anywhere. It's going to auto-populate in January.
Auto-populate?
I don't plan on missing one week. You're going to get a Crab Feast on Christmas on a Tuesday, and then the following week you'll get a brand new Ryan Sickler podcast. Also, on that same feed for the month of January.
I got this from here. Okay. So I also am launching a new podcast. It's going to be called The Through Line, and each week I'll take an object or an item or a hobby or a specific idea, and it'll be a through line for me to interview two different guests. It'll be about an hour podcast. There'll be storytelling involved, but it's also going to be just like I'm doing an episode on storytelling with Ira Glass is going to be on, and Dan Harmon. Then I'm going to do an episode on like typewriters, and I'm going to interview the guy who fixes my typewriter, and I'm going to use it as a through line to interview different people. And it's got some great guests. I did a vinyl episode with Mark Maron, which is going to be on, and this guy, Jimmy Greenwood, who founded Licorice Pizza, one of the first independent record store chains ever. So it's going to be a lot of great things. And the way that's going to go down is for the first all the Tuesdays of January, it's going to come out on the Crab Feast feed and simulcast on my new feed. And then after January, it'll no longer be available on the Crab Feast feed. You'll have to subscribe at the new feed in order to get it. So Rise Podcast will live on this feed. My podcast will go to a new feed, but you'll be able to get it on the Crab Feast feed for those Tuesdays in January. And then you got to subscribe to the new one. So that's what you got to look forward to. You got one podcast right now, and then you're going to get two, mine and Rye. And what I'm going to do is I do two interviews per show, and I cut it down about 20 minutes for the podcast, and then the full hour interview is going to be available on a Patreon page I'm going to release. So in essence, you'll be able to get three podcasts in a week of the through line. So look forward to both of those, or three of those. You know, they're going to be able to get your something in line with you, something in line with me. Phew. They're doubling up, baby.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win. Three wins.
It's true. Speaking of three wins.
Three wins.
This guest goes by three letters, Blay. You like that one?
Yeah.
You like that one, don't you?
That's beautiful. You know, back in the day, I used to think his name was Daniel Van Kirkland. So in my phone, it's Daniel Van Kirkland.
Still?
Yeah, still. I'm never going to change that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the final 10. One of our all-time favorite guests.
All time.
One of our all-time favorite people. Our all-time favorite, not comedian, but one of our favorites of all time. We're so excited to have him here. Ladies and gentlemen.
My pitcher for the Kraft Feast Home Run Derby.
You know him. You love him.
Left-handed heat.
I'll get into that afterwards. Mr. Daniel Van Kirk!
Dan Van Kirk!
Welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast. Woo! He's standing, y'all. He's standing up. He's standing Woo! For himself. He comes back.
I keep going, but I'm getting text.
That just reminded me of another story.
Great.
Oh my God! Clapping in Vegas.
God, I'm writing it down.
Clapping in Vegas.
Clapping with our hands.
10 feet on the ground.
6 feet two off the ground. Are you 6'2"?
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have all 6 foot two.
You said it when I walked in.
He did. That's why I asked.
It's because he walks around with this little bag, right? And every time I see him,
Dan Van Kirk walks around, just so you know, with a shaving kit. It's a toiletries bag.
And he looks like an NBA player when they come into the place because they got all their good shit in there.
He looks like he's got one shoe in there, like it's a fucking spare tire.
Yeah, if he was a fucking toddler.
You know what size shoe I wear?
What size shoe are you?
14.
God damn, man. You see how he says that shit?
Got that 1090, got that 1099 dick, man.
You know what I'm saying?
98.
Probably 98, my man.
1099? What's he doing? His taxes over here?
1099's a white person.
No, that's right.
Yeah, I'm at 98. God damn it. I can't keep all the 10 straight.
That 1097 wrestling that 1098. Oh,
God damn. You saw that animated video I had my buddy do, right?
Oh, hell yeah. That brought it all back.
God damn. Well, as always, a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
How we do it here at the Feast. Please promote yourself, Dan Van Kirk.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I'm on tour right now. The second leg of my tour is in the middle of when this drops.
Tour.
You hear
tour.
That?
Yeah,
tour.
I hear it.
How do you guys say syllables. Tour?
Tour.
I say tour.
Tour.
Like everybody
tour.
Says.
Tour.
Tour. Yeah,
T-O-R-E, you're saying.
Yes.
I'm saying tour.
You're saying it's
you're
two
syllables. Right
it still doesn't need to be two syllables.
That's tour.
That's
I'm
what you're saying.
I'm on tour.
You say tour. Like you say tour like I say sewer.
You say tour.
I say tour. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
This
go
drops
back
the beginning
to your tour.
Of November,
please,
right?
Please go back to your
Settle
tour.
Settle down with it dropping.
Is this, why?
This is the
you
first
want the dates to matter?
First episode
you know more
in November.
Than anybody. We're doing it, dude.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. No, get on out there. Yeah, this goes out. Yeah, this is out.
Right,
it's 11-6.
Okay,
today.
Great. So I, as this comes out, I am in the middle of the second leg of my tour, and you can see me on the 8th. I'll be at the 11-8, that is, Thursday the 8th. I'll be at American Comedy Company headlining that, and then I'll be back in L.A. on the 9th at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater. And then on the 14th, I'll be finishing up the second leg of my tour at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. Go to danielvankirk.com and look out for that. Third, fourth, and fifth leg of the tour. I think we're doing 42 cities by the time.
Damn. Man, you got more legs than Josh Adams.
Yeah,
baby.
That's a lot of legs, bro. God
damn. Oh, that was a good
go
one.
See DVK on tour. Make sure you get out there and see him.
Yeah.
Your podcasts.
Oh yeah. So check out Hindsight. That's where I have comedians on. They bring three photos from any chapters of life. We talked about the context of their life when each photo was taken. And then Pen Pals with Rory Scovel and Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers.
Oh, three podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We try to limit everyone to two per promotion.
Well, I have one solo and then two partnerships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a solo. It's like he's like a recording artist. Like, well, I'm doing something with 2 Chainz.
Right. Right. This is my solo. This is my solo piece. So everybody, if you go to danielvankirk.com, you can check all of that stuff out. And then my Twitter shout out. Remember those?
Yeah, we remember. They died somewhere along the way.
I know.
It was your idea for the Twitter shout out.
I know, because I just wanted to fuck with a friend. And then for a while, people were doing it to everybody.
Well, do you have somebody?
Nah.
No.
Nah. I'm my buddy Jeff Chase, but I can't think of what his handle is. So,
well, you're not going to believe this.
Jeffrey Chase!
Jeffrey Chase!
Get in here, Chase!
Chase ass in
love
here.
Your bank, baby. Jeff Chase, living in Jersey,
in Jersey.
I said, it's game 7 of the World Series 2016. I go, I don't care what you have to say. I'm not watching this game by myself. Because I was in New York for the New York Comedy Festival.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, do whatever you have to do, but I'll get the Airbnb. Don't worry about that, but I'm not watching this game alone. So we watched game 7 together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is he a Cubs fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
great. Oh, that game was intense.
That was one X 6.
Unreal, man. But we said, too, we're like, hey, we're gonna do a shot every time anytime the Cubs hit a home run. We're going to do a pickleback. And I think they hit 4 or 5.
Where'd you watch the game?
God damn.
There's some bar in Manhattan that's like a big-time Cubs bar, like Kelly's or McKelly's or something like that. You couldn't even move. I mean, you couldn't even get it through the doorway. And so we ended up at some other bar, and it ended up just by default becoming a Cubs bar. You couldn't move in that either. We had it perfectly worked out where we were the table across from a TV that was also next to like the server station, so they wouldn't let anybody stand there or walk there. So we had a clear shot the whole game. It was perfect.
Tight.
Yeah. Got into a bit of an altercation. I could tell you a story about that, too. So like a kickball team. Gets done with their...
An adult kickball team.
Yeah.
Be a whole real bunch of
7-year-olds. Everybody give it up for Jerry 4 for 4 tonight, baby! They roll in. They're all
they got
like,
plenty of those leagues.
They got high...
Beer leagues. Yeah, all beer leagues.
Yeah. The socks all pulled up and shit.
People wearing shorts with sweats under them.
Right.
And so a lot of layers. It's always layers.
The pathway that the waitresses have made to say, you know, hey, you can't stand here. Across the other side of that, below the TV, is the table where this kickball league like takes over. So I'm kind of looking above that. They're sort of in my field of view, right? And they're kind of between me and the TV. And almost all of them understand what's going on here. I mean, just even from an Indian's point of view, like,
whoa.
I knew you were going to go. Christ, you ever do that thing when you know in a war movie when the guy steps on the bouncing Betty?
Yeah.
And he's like, he knows and he doesn't want to lift his foot up. That's what that feels like when you're in a room with comics and you're like, I just said blue. I said the word blue wrong and I might as well let everybody do it.
Yeah, totally. Let him get it out.
Right. So even from a Cleveland Indians fan perspective, it was a big deal. And so they're like watching the game or whatever. And then these two, I mean, it was extra innings. We had the rain delay. You know, the Cleveland Indians had tied it back up. And there's these two team members from this game. And they just start bitching about work so loud and like yelling like back. And I told her, I'm not doing it anymore. Because if you want me, and I'm sitting there like trying to watch this game.
What inning are we in right now?
Like, what was it, the 10th?
The 10th. This guy's bitching about Cheryl at work.
Right. And totally fine to do that. But I'm not the anomaly in the bar.
The
trying
whole
to
world
watch this.
Is watching
yes,
this.
Yes, yes. And so.
And that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah. And so it goes on for a little bit, and they keep going, and I'm doing the thing where you're trying to block out your field of view, and they're loud and like yelling at each other, and I'm stressed. And I'm not. I just, this is what we're here for. This is what and I go, girls, I'm really, really sorry, but can you go anywhere else and have this conversation right now? If not, I'll deal, but if possible, that would be great.
You sound like Cheryl.
It's our break room too, Cheryl. Right. And I'm like,
quit microwaving fish.
They're like, Cheryl. They're like, oh my God, you care about this? And I'm like,
you care about this?
Right. And I go, hey, obviously, no, I don't at all. I got six empty shot glasses around me, and I'm wearing a woman spring training Cubs hat that I bought before the season started.
But I just bought Sammy Sosa skin cream. I care, goddamn.
And the guy with her, they're like, they're pissed at me for just asking them to just maybe not have this conversation right now. Yeah. The guy next, they look to him, and they're like, can you believe this? And he goes, I'm going to be honest, it's kind of fucked up. You two won't shut up about this break room shit.
Wow. One of the boyfriends?
Yeah. And I was like, thank you so much.
Well, he pitched a two-hitter that night. So he was, floating kind of high anyway.
You could tell by the quads.
Doing that
They've
spin.
Been bitching about Cheryl the whole game. He's so sick of it. He can't take it.
I'm going to tell you another story. So the game. So
wait, how did they react?
They shut up.
They did.
They just were like, or they just kept quiet. I mean, I did say to them, like, if you're not going to care, fine. I just had to ask you, you know? So the Cubs come back. They win. 17 minutes of rain ends 108 years of drought. Yeah. And my Scott Rogowski, some people probably know him from the HQ app.
We know him from the back room.
Get out
Scott here. Rogowski! Come on out here, bud.
Hey, Nero, you Polish son of a bitch.
So Scott's there, and he films me watching the final out. So I have that, you know. But I mean, guys, my grandpa, like, you know, he was born, raised, got married, had kids. Those kids had kids, and he passed away, like, never seeing this.
Yeah.
And one of his things, like, my uncle just said it this year when the Cubs lost in the one playoff game. My uncle said on our family group text, like, hey, it's just like my dad said. Don't love the Cubs because every fall they're just going to break your heart. That's what he lived on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm watching them win, right? So the game's over, and Scott and Jeff are like, hey, we're going to run to the restroom, right? And as they walk down to go to the right to go to the restroom, I'm walking through to head out to the bar, and I see a guy with two champagne flutes and a bottle of champagne, and he's like, like looking around, like anybody, just looking,
anyone.
Looking for his buddies, you know? And I'm like, that guy just wants a friend. That's all this guy wants. So then I go out to the front, and I'm waiting, and I'm kind of by the doorway, and I see the guy still. Now he's down at the end of the bar by the entrance exit. And he's standing there, and he goes, "Hey, do you want to do a shot of champagne with me?
A shot of champagne."
And he's got these two flutes, two glass flutes, and I said, "It. I mean, of course, right? But also, like, man, I'm not gonna let you do this. You know, you get looking for a buddy." So I go, "For sure, right?" And then there's two other people, like, by there too, and they kind of like look at us, and he's like, two more flutes, right? So I'm like, I'm getting roped into a whole deal here. So they bring over
flutes. Demanding them, it sounded
like. But he's just, you could feel his exuberance. So they give him two more, and he pours. And then here comes Jeff and Scott, and they walk out, and they're like, what are you doing? What happened since we went to, you've made new friends, and you're drinking champagne? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be right. I'm just going to do the, I guess
the
I'm
guy
doing
just
this
got engaged,
guy.
Man.
I guess I'm just going to do this with this guy. And so they're like, all right, we'll go outside. So Jeff goes out to, like, smoke a cigarette, and Scott goes with him. So I'm standing there, and the guy's like, everybody got their champagne? And I'm like, yeah, dude, we got it. And he like, takes a beat, and he looks at all of us, and he goes, I used to watch every single Cubs game with my dad. He died of cancer this year, and I came here to watch this game without him, and we always said we'd drink champagne. He can't be here tonight, so I appreciate you guys doing what I don't get to do with my dad. And I'm like,
Jesus, I have chills. I have chills.
Dude, I can get to you. I was like,
yeah, I'm dude, like, I'm hey, over here man. All emotional. Bro. I don't even know what this is. So hang on a second.
Give me a flute, like, and a clarinet, too. It went from like this drunk dude to like,
gonna march that band right
I'm
in.
I'm all played up clarinet.
You know, French horn. But it went from like, yeah, that of like, oh, this drunk dumb idiot to like,
it
oh, this was something he waited forever to do
to
with
him.
His dad. And now here I'm the one doing it with him. And so, yeah, we drank the shot and then the champagne. And then I couldn't even. It was crazy.
You should have been like, too bad the Cubbies weren't playing cancer tonight, baby.
Did dad go extra innings?
Oh, man.
And then you never saw him again. He left your life like his dad left his. That's it. Like, that's
it. Or mine left me.
And mine left me.
But yeah, it that was just crazy. And you know what else was weird? Because I was there for the festival. So part of me in the back of my mind was like, I can't lose my voice. So I...
Justin Timberlake just had to cancel the Madison Square Garden because it was
really
screaming for the Red Sox.
It was a lot of me being like, like just trying to like not because I went to.
Were you doing impressions at the festival?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because I mean that's even more of an instrument.
I've had that before where I lost it a little bit and I couldn't get into that register if I was doing a character or whatever. But like when I went to Western Conference Finals Game 2, my mom just happened to be coming out here and visiting me, and it's Blackhawks versus Ducks. And I said, "Well, she's never been to a hockey game, so her first game is going to be Western Conference Finals Blackhawks." And I said, "Fuck it, I'm going to spend a little extra." We were 8 rows off the glass.
Wow,
damn. That game went regulation. Complete one overtime, complete double overtime.
Damn.
They didn't win it until a minute and a half left in the third over. It's the longest Blackhawks game, and that's an original six team.
I was going to say, that's two full games, but that's a doubleheader.
And for them
to pass out, doubleheader.
You guys, when I, that ride home, and the next day, I couldn't even. It was gone. So going into that World Series, Game 7, I was like, I cannot lose this voice. I have to be able to talk about it, which made it so weird to watch and not really like let it out. But
I think it's a good thing for those two girls.
Yeah, no shit.
I probably would have been I'm not a big yell at the TV person. Do you where I'm like I see people I'm like, you know they can't hear you.
I yell good things.
Like hell yeah. Like,
yeah,
yes,
I'll be like, he got it. Oh, it's a catch. I'll yell shit like
that's
that,
fine.
But I don't
but
yell.
Fah!
I don't do that.
Team?
Yeah,
what are you doing? Oh,
no.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're like,
no,
they
I don't do the what are you doings. Like when my kicker misses his first extra point in his entire
life
you
can't.
And costs
that
us
poor,
a game. That dude's won us so many games.
Yeah, I love what every player stepped up for him, by
he
the
has
way.
Never
he
missed
has
a
equity.
Kick.
That guy has so much money in the bank.
He has missed.
So much.
Never missed in peewee, high school, college, and 222 consecutive attempts in the NFL.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm sure he missed one in peewee.
I'm just telling what he says, man.
Well, who stayed that?
First in his life.
Who stayed that?
He stayed it.
He stayed that?
Said it twice.
Well, then I think the defense rests, Your Honor.
I just didn't know he said it.
He did. And I want to say something about the two of you, because we had talked about, Jay and I talked about this story. We were all up at the Petaluma Festival in Petaluma, California.
And we fell in love at a festival.
That's it.
No, the first one. We became friends at South by Southwest.
That was South by.
That's where you first met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not when we went for Funny or Die, when you went before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I was going to say.
And then we met at a festival, too.
I thought we met
at Bridgetown.
Because Jay brought you in here.
No.
You and I hung out at Bridgetown. I really think you did the Crab Feast before we hung out at Bridgetown.
We met at Bridgetown. We walked into the Doug Fur Lounge, and that's where you and I met.
So then it was the next year when I walked.
You came to my show that night.
I remember all that, but I really thought that was all set up because of the Crab Feast first, but I take your memory over mine any day.
Yeah, no.
Well, look at that.
We got a lot of festival history in this one.
You guys fell in a lot more love up in the Petaluma Festival.
Probably my greatest bit. And Jay's.
Yeah.
Settle
down a second.
Jay and I have talked about
my personal feeling
on what it was like to see that. But when did you all work that shit out?
There was no working. It was magic.
There was a little working out.
Barely. We sat down at this table.
You hadn't discussed it prior to that meal?
No. So listen, we
prior
sit
to the
down.
Meal? No.
DVK and I are sitting on one side of the table,
uh-huh.
And then Rory, my boy Brian, and then Sickler on the other side.
It's 3-on-2.
Yes. In that order. Rory's across from me, Sickler's across from DVK, Spitzy, Brian
kind
is in the middle.
Between.
So everyone's looking at their menus, thinking about where we're going to order and stuff, and DVK leans over and he's like, "Hey man, what are you thinking about getting?" And I go, "Huh?" And I lean in like I'm going to kiss him.
And you know, that it's
and
a moment.
And he just looks at me and goes, "Wait for a toast when we get the drinks." He just, that's
wait
all he
till,
said.
Wait till I get my champagne flutes.
That was a beautiful moment. Yeah. And so
So there was that. You know what I mean?
Like, so how long was
hold on.
Yeah.
You know the moment where you realize you're too close to somebody while talking to them?
Mm-hmm.
And you're face-to-face? Like, you'll see this in movies and stuff. A lot of times you don't realize how close people are talking, but a lot of times it's like, you're so close, you either have to fight or kiss. You're in too much of each other's space. We by happenstance, got into that place just asking what we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that moment, both of us were like, oh, yeah, I would do this bit. So we'd already been in the water.
The second you said, save it for the toast, I was like, oh, it's happened. Like, yeah, good. Yeah. He's down.
Because we both were already like, yeah, I would have done it. But we just knew nobody was watching.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no, that's the worst when you do a bit and you're like, nobody? Fuck you guys. So yeah, we went through a long process of like ordering.
Well, then we had to order, wait for drinks.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even know if you remember, because then like the drinks had come.
See, when you said that, I figured, remembered you probably set it up like that the morning of or something, you know? Like,
no, but we had been through dinner, and so much had happened.
No, we hadn't eaten dinner.
No, but I mean, we had been through the early process of dinner.
And drinks at the place next door.
No, but I mean, once we had said it, enough had happened at that dinner
that it was like enough
we hadn't rechecked in on it. It could very easily have just never happened again.
Totally.
Yes.
Because then like we got our drinks and we're sitting there and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh, he said, you know, we're going to do a toast, and like you got to get toasting before someone takes a sip of their drink, you know? So mm-hmm. I was like, all right, well, and I picked up my drink. I'm like, hey, you guys, just want to make a toast, and I out of my periphery, I see him, and he's still like looking at a menu, and I'm like, oh, does he forget? Does he forget what's going on here?
Hell no, I wanted
Hell
it
no,
real.
Baby.
I wanted it real.
It was fucking real, I'll
so,
tell you that.
Yeah, we did the toast, and everybody, because that was what makes it perfect. Your forced attention, and it's
come
on
closer,
to us.
Yeah, physically come closer to everybody.
Nobody is on either side of us, so no one's getting lost. We literally are on stage.
Yeah.
And totally. So we just lean in, kiss again.
Well, kiss.
Hold
like,
on. Yeah, it wasn't just a peck. I mean, it was passionate. And yeah. then you went back for more. Like I said, again, it felt like I was standing in front of you getting ready to fist fight you, and I saw both your hands, and somehow this third one came up and uppercutted me twice. That's what it felt like. I was like, where the fuck that hand come
My
from?
My favorite was the three of you guys, because between
Rory
the first,
spit out his drink.
Between the first and second kiss, I just heard a guy who I had
it
met.
It was Spitzy.
Yeah, Spitzy.
I had met an hour earlier.
Yeah, he doesn't even know anything about
goes,
you.
Larson.
And Brian's not a comedian, also.
No, that was real. That wasn't Larson, like, you're doing this joke. It was like, where have you gone?
Yeah, totally.
Who are you?
I mean, he totally got what was happening.
And then we look at Rory.
I double hitched with my neck, click, click, like a Pez dispenser twice.
I know this is an audible show, but Rory's face was like a Pompeii
Wait,
person.
Wait, is that a
got,
shot?
Got,
is you taking a shot at us?
Right? Hell no. Oh, but his face was like a Pompeii person who got killed by the lava while they were laughing. Yeah. He was just like,
yeah.
Like just staring. And then you were like, mm-mm. I remember you putting your napkin up over your mouth.
Did I?
Like you had been kissed.
I couldn't comprehend what was going on. All I could
I thought it was one of the funniest.
When it happened.
Definitely one of the funniest things I've ever done in my life.
I blinked and like opened my, well, it's hard for me to open my eyes up. I opened them up and then, and then my mental process was like, is that really? And that's as far as I got. And then you guys went in again. I was like, yeah, that's happening.
See,
like, that's
is,
exactly what I thought.
With the exception of Spitzy, because I don't feel like there's a standing consent there. I would do that again with any other person at that table in like 4 or 5 years when they aren't even going to think that it's coming again on another toast.
First of all, one of the funniest things in the world to me are two dudes kissing that aren't gay. I think it's the funny, like when they
you
do that shit on
it.
SNL, it kills me.
And you
me.
Have to commit.
You have to. That was Rory's big note. He goes, the thing is, both of you guys committed so hard because neither of you are going to be the one who's going to let
right,
that joke down.
Because we kissed where your lips feel the other person's
lips. Oh,
teeth.
Your tongues
teeth.
Touched.
Our tongues
right,
did that. I would tell you. What would I care?
When you leaned right. back in, there was
we would tell you. Trust me.
Why would
there
we
was definitely
part,
a touch.
You don't think there's a part of me that regrets the fact that we didn't just go full makeout?
I think your adrenaline was rushing and you don't realize
it was
that
you rushing because I was like, I'm
you
committing touched. To this bit. Oh, I would have gone. I would tell you.
I really, in my mind, and I could be wrong about this, but
right,
it was
listen.
You who leaned in and shifted it to second gear.
Listen,
and
man.
Then he was like, I got
listen,
this.
Let me tell you something. If you're having fantasies on your own that we tongue, that's one thing.
I want to hear
your tongue, bro.
I didn't say you tongued. I said you touched tongue. Oh.
that's not even a good kiss.
It just touched. I wasn't judging the kiss. I'm just seeing what
kissing
was happening.
Like,
I'm
kissing just, like hatchet face
I'm just
and crybaby.
Reporting, yeah.
The best that laughter.
Three people got that reference,
and it lasted.
Crybaby, bro.
Oh, that laughter.
It kept going. I mean, we just kept trickling, like because
man.
It was so fun.
That was hilarious.
You know what else I love? After you guys did the announcement episode, someone on Twitter, I don't know if you guys saw, was like, oh my God, I can't believe that Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler outed Daniel Van Kirk on the Crab Feast.
They thought it was real?
That I'm gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who even care? First of all, if I was gay, that's not how you'd find out. The first four times I was on this show, it would have been like, so I'm gay.
Yeah, yeah right. That's true.
You don't think I'd have one great story from a gay bar? Actually, now I think about it, I do have a great story from a gay bar.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's hear that one, and then we'll get the clapping in Vegas. How about that?
Oh, we got. Oh, this it's just short. I'm just saying I've danced on a gay bar in Chicago.
Shirtless?
I don't think that's it was a like a Sunday night. And it was dead, and it was $3 Mai Tais.
And hold on, how do you get there? Go there on purpose because it's $3 Mai Tais.
Yes,
are you out with
100%.
Some friends and you stumble in this place
Vegas?
Like, oh, fuck.
No, in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
It's one of the best LGBTQ bars. Communities in the country. And it was $3 Mai Tais, and we just took over the bar, me and one other guy, and just had the most fun.
You and a guy, and how many people in the gay bar?
Six. It was like a dead Sunday night. Oh, I think that bar is called Spin. It's like on Halstead and Belmont. I don't even know if it's still there. The turnover rate is high.
Yeah.
In
Chicago?
Boys Town community in Chicago. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What were you dancing to?
I mean, probably Erasure's Respect.
Do you remember Respect.
Yeah, yeah. That's an anthem. An anthem.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I'm trying to
dance. Yeah, I remember that.
Don't you hear me though? I can't remember at all.
Oh yeah, I remember something.
And right here is where, and that's where he took his shirt off, right there.
Yeah.
I started swinging
up for you.
Give me another
respect. Yeah, hell yeah.
I karaoke at a gay bar in San Francisco.
And
crush.
What's your song? What's your song?
Well, I'm not a good karaoke.
Really?
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Is that a karaoke?
Then you just haven't found your song.
Yeah, probably. I did Paradise City that time.
Whoa, that's hard. Dude, you always go aggressive.
I don't know what to do.
You forget that thing kicks into high gear about halfway through.
My favorite is when somebody thought a song was a third shorter than it is. When it's always just like, oh, this is a long song. And it just keeps like Hall & Oates, I Can't Go For That. That's a long song.
Is it really?
That's a great song.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. No can do.
Yeah.
These days, you can get practically everything on demand, like our podcast. Listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. Do you know you can even get postage on demand? Well, you can. All you need is stamps.com. We used to use stamps.com when we first started our merch. We did all our merch for you guys through stamps.com, and it was great. And fortunately for us, you guys were killing it. I couldn't keep up with it. With stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office right from your desk. You can buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any packages. It's all available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, print, mail, and you're done. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale. You can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time. I did that every time because hoodies weighed more than t-shirts. Some people got 2-3 t-shirts. We threw stickers in back in the day, man. I loved stamps.com. I still love it, and I absolutely recommend if you're doing any kind of business like that, you definitely should be using stamps.com. And right now you can use CRAB. That's our special offer, code CRAB, C-R-A-B. It's a 4-week trial that includes postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CRAB, C-R-A-B. That's stamps.com. Enter CRAB.
You know, Kate crushes karaoke. Horrible, horrible voice. Terrible.
But loves it up there.
She's got one song.
And she kills it.
And we, at my buddy's wedding, Jordan's wedding in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
afterwards, we all fucking went down to this bar and they had karaoke. We were all in there and she went right up and they like, yeah, I think one of my friends paid extra so she could just go, and she does Everybody Must Get Stoned by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And she's terrible, and she owns the stage, and everybody, it's hilarious. And I was just like, it's the first time I'd ever been with her karaoke, and I was like, this is my girl. She crushed it.
I think you would do a great job. Sickler, do you have one?
I just like karaoke. I'll sing. I'll get up and sing.
You don't have a song?
No, I don't have a go-to. Like, if I did something, I would do, like, a Garth Brooks, something to get the place riled up. You know what I mean?
Is there a W in riled?
Riled up.
Yeah, you get up there, and you're like, holding you. You bring it way
yeah,
down.
I'll bring the everything. Dance.
Oh, hey, Mo, we turn these down just a little bit.
People are crying and just
entire the king.
The dude with the champagne flute is in the back just swaying.
But it's only no.
But that's all
that you did.
How the king
they won, Dad. They did it.
They did it.
And who's to say?
You know, I'm not.
Did you know Cheryl's been in the break room? She's been taking everybody's snacks.
Oh, no.
Guys, when
I didn't know.
I'm drinking with strangers now.
The way it all went in. The way it all.
I can do the whole thing.
C's for Cubs, not cancer, Dad. I miss you.
I got a W tattooed on my arm, Dad.
I got C's for champagne, too, goddamn it. Who wants to drink with me?
Better left to chance.
Can't miss the pain.
I miss you, Dad. I'm probably never gonna see these people ever again.
I
just like you. Let it go, Jerry. It was 2 years ago. Feels like yesterday. Goddamn. This opened up the wound right here.
Oh, you walked the bar.
Honey, I think we should just get going. Is this the remix? He's been on for a while.
Oh my
god! You know what I love to do? Somebody else really knows it. Jodeci's version of Lately.
Jodeci?
Ooh.
Which one's Lately?
I don't know if
lately
I know that.
Lately I've had the strangest feeling.
Fucking love Jodeci.
Something's on it. I don't know. It's a, but know this that time could.
What are you doing with your hands?
He's playing piano or good keys. Or look at him. Ooh, F minor.
Bye. Do you remember this?
I'm I a remember man come of and talk to me. Wishes.
Ooh. You know what else?
Talk to me, talk to me.
If you can get a bar behind you singing It's So Hard to Say Goodbye by Boyz II Men.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get the whole.
You got to be able to sing it, though.
But, you, but the whole
you do
place.
They will all yeah sing that. That's a single. That's what I'm talking about. Place. I like the anthems to get them going, and then I'll do
you guys, I was
whatever.
Like
I like
the
low
anthem
register. I like, yeah, but the Mexican one.
I was in the Dallas Comedy House. Shout out to Dallas Comedy House.
Great
at,
club.
At Dallas Comedy, I believe. I love
never
that. Really? You're going to hate saying that, but God, come on, Dallas.
Dallas Comedy
House. The whole club's
first structure to
staff
come in.
Jesus, guys.
Now, I'm telling you, you would love doing their festival. It's in March.
Oh yeah,
but
oh,
such
it's
a great venue. No, it's a venue, and they, oh, okay, and they have a festival. Probably the on the first leg, I'm gonna say it. That's the best. I don't know if it's a combination of the best set I had or the best audience for the vibe I was in that night.
The history of your comedy
of
career?
That leg of that, that leg, yeah,
of that leg,
and
third I have leg. A, are we on there?
First, that was
first.
The first.
Oh,
that
was the first leg. Just yeah stretch, right,
and
just warmed up my fucking compression pants.
Yeah.
Better.
I have this bit where I was singing, and I usually just end it out. Just we're good, you know, with normal clothes. And I just had a feeling that I'm like,
on what song?
Well, it's an original. It's part of like a character.
An original.
Settle down.
It's an original. I mean, I can tell you the, it's not original, but it's not a popular song.
Okay.
So
thank you. Then it's not original.
No, it's not. It's literally what I just said.
I know, but you
also, it's the opposite of what you first said.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah entirely true. So I'm like singing and I'm on the big final note. And for some reason, I just decide to go into.
Start hitting a
it's
register.
It's so hard to say goodbye.
Oh, yes, you went from one song into another one?
Yeah, I was
did
like
a remix?
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's so hard. And this audience goes, and there is a black dude three rows deep in the middle, and he stands straight up and just starts singing the song with me. And I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my comedic life.
And it's singing.
Just as hard as he can. He's just, and he looks around.
You
no one stood
head
up with him. He
no
thought everybody was going.
He felt.
I'll never forget you, Dad.
It's like, holy shit, is that that guy?
That's that too. Goddamn. Welcome to the club.
This is our song, Dad. Look at everybody standing and swaying with me, y'all. You know,
oh, it's the best. Where were we? I feel like I derailed you on some level.
You were we started all this by talking about your performance on a gay bar.
That was a great night.
Yeah,
that was a great night.
Well, let's hear about this. It was clapping story, in Vegas.
Okay,
clapping.
So I'm in Vegas like 3 weeks ago.
That was when you were writing there while I was talking.
It was after. I went back again. So
damn.
My buddy Paul the Clown, he's in that show Absinthe at Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. This is going to start a little serious, and then I promise it'll just get fun. So he survived the Vegas shooting, Route 91 shooting. And he said, hey, I feel like I kind of want to tell my story, and I think I might have expressed interest in it as well. He said, I'll come on hindsight. I'll bring 3 photos from that day of when I was there before it all went to hell in a handbasket. And he said, you want to do it? And we were going to do it when I went there on a little riding excursion. It didn't work out. His scheduling got changed. And then I told him, I'll come back for the anniversary, because I just knew that day was going to be hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up recording it on that day, which was the Monday. And so I get out there. We record it. It's a fantastic episode. He's really proud of him and his bravery to be able to be so vulnerable and share his feelings. So we're walking through. If you haven't been to Vegas, I can just tell you, Flamingo, Harrah's, and maybe one other casino are like kind of all connected, right? So we're just kind of walking from one to another, and we get to just one of those random bars in the casino, and the Monday Night Football game's on, and it is Denver versus the Chiefs. And for anybody who remembers or those who don't, the Chiefs were down by, I think, 10 with like 3 minutes left in that game. And so we come walking up around this bar just to like look at the game. And there is a guy bellied up to the bar, standing up. He's got big, thick glasses on, a crew cut, and he's wearing a Broncos jersey, probably like a Von Miller jersey. And he is standing there. I mean, it's a small bar. He's looking straight up the TV and he's going, "Come on! Come on!" He is screaming like he's
high
a coach.
Like that?
Yes. "Come on!" The bartender.
Wearing a KC shirt.
Wearing Joe Montana, a red seven. Kansas City.
13,
jersey.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or 16.
Elway, what am I thinking?
He's just trying, he's making tips off this guy. But you can see him just be like, "Please, dear God." And the guy's like, "Come on!" All right? And it's when they were down by 10. They needed 2 scores. They haven't gotten one yet. And they're moving down the field. I say, "Paul," that's who I'll shout out to, at Clown on Wire. I go, "Paul, let's sit down here for a second. Just watch this guy." And he's like, "All right, whatever." So we sit there, and Chiefs are just moving, ripping chunks, right? On these chunks of yard, chunks.
They've beat almost everyone they played this year.
Yeah.
They've lost one. Who they lose
to? At the time we're recording, yeah. They lost to New England on Sunday night.
That's right, yeah.
You didn't feel that? Fuck, you took that bait.
What's that?
You didn't feel that?
Oh, no, I just don't care.
Oh,
so, they beat the Bears. What do you want me to care?
They're
great. Your team's great.
I mean, whatever.
Now you don't care.
I mean, you said it.
So they're just ripping up yardage, and I'm sitting there. "Come on!" He's got a couple other like Bronco fans around him. And there's like a woman that I presume was his girlfriend next to him. And she could tell she's tense too. "Get on the ball!" Just screaming. And then for some reason, the Chiefs just get a big first down, like convert a third and long. And I just go.
Well, you did it on purpose, huh?
And then I put him away. And that guy looks around. He looks his left. And he's drunk. He looks left and right. And he's like, he goes back to the game. And he cannot figure out who the hell just clapped, because I'm not wearing anything. Another first down. "Come on!" Put him away.
And put him away.
Paul's like, he's going to know it's us. And I'm like, he has no idea who it is, right? Then.
Because you're rooting for the Chiefs, right?
I guess.
You're just rooting against him. That's all.
No, he. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly. Right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah. So
okay.
Every time they do something good. And it's the end of the game. This guy's gone the whole game without anybody infringing
right.
on him totally. Screaming.
You're his it. Girls at the fucking bar in Chicago.
Yeah. Totally.
So I'm just sitting there. So then the bartender looks up at me. He sees me. And he just gives me a good for you, like a little mm-hmm. nod, right? And the guy's like, who's doing it? I'd listen here. Hold on. Like, who's clapping?
You're such a great impressionist. That's why I was like that high, because I know you're not going to overlook any detail. No. The guy is talking like that right
was
now.
Was he Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. Who's clapping? He just wants Denver to hold on to this lead so bad, right? So then they do another one. And I look, and there's a pillar right behind screaming guy, and then on the other side of the pillar comes this guy wearing this old, I mean, he's just one of those guys that just looks like he needs a haircut, not trying to grow his hair out, mid-40s, wearing an old Elway jersey. He takes one step around that pillar, looks at me, and goes,
staring at you?
Staring right at, he figured it out that it was me, right? So then they end up kicking the field goal. Another big clap. And now they all know it's me, okay?
So how's then, they all? You said about three of them
plus the dude. So they now know that it's me. So now Kansas City kicks off.
Denver, they're all getting their cigarettes ready, and she's like, it's his asshole on the other side. It's his asshole on the other side. Denver, give me your lighter, Debbie.
Denver gets the ball. Denver gets a first down.
You clap. Now you're confusing this.
I'm clapping. Yeah. And Paul is like, are you trying to get us jumped by these Denver people? Like, well, these fuckers are so. Paul, nothing's going to happen.
Push them over.
And when they looked at me when I started clapping for Denver, they were like, it was like.
What? I had to hurt their head.
Oh, my God. It was like putting a chimpanzee in a car. It's just like, what am I doing?
Maybe he's on the spectrum, right. Debbie. Take the lighter back.
So then they were kind of like, oh, okay, maybe he thought, like, they looked at me like, kind of gave me a nod, like, oh, he was clapping that they weren't going to score a touchdown, right? They couldn't figure it out.
Oh, okay, like it was good D. Yeah.
So then Kansas City gets the ball back and starts moving again.
Here he goes, like, this motherfucker over here. Right
now, I start clapping again, and Elway, old school Elway haircut guy, takes a wide arc all the way around to about my, like, 7 o'clock, and he's just hanging out over there. And Paul's like, we're going to get punched.
They're separating to come at you.
Screaming guy, they get a stop, like get him to like fourth down, and he tries to give me his best clap. And it's just like,
he can't even
see. He claps like he yells.
Not at all.
All fucking light and shit.
Right? So then they get the first down at fourth down. I'm not booming. And Paul, I have had people sit like,
Elway's coming. Elway's charging.
Sit with me in a car when I'm clapping like that. Yeah. And they're like, you need to don't do this. Yeah. So I do that. They convert that fourth down. And now over at the bar to my right, because screaming guy's kind of my left, to my right is this woman. And she's got a cocktail in her hand. She's playing slots. And I've been watching her. She's pissed off. She's losing so much money. She goes, hey, come here. And I go, I'm good right here. And she goes, you keep clapping, and it's pissing him off. And I go, ma'am, are you intoxicated? And she goes, no. And I go, okay, all right. So then I keep clapping. And she goes, can you come here? Just come over here for a second. And so I go over there to her, and she goes, I hate that guy screaming at the game. I was over there, and I move over here, and I hate it. You know when somebody... They get so drunk, periods don't exist anymore in their sentence. Yeah. And I came all the way over here, and I said, and I've been losing money, and you show up, and you start clapping, and I'm going to tell you this, you got a great clap.
I'm off to the bus then.
You got
a great clap, the ladies.
It's about to take a turn. Yeah, I can tell you. You got a great clap.
Best clapping comedy.
I like how much it pisses him off, because you can tell by your clapping. You can hit so hard. My husband hit me so hard. He had a clap.
Shut up.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He clapped like you clap, and he could hit like a son of a bitch. And I'm like, oh, all right, man. She's like, you stay over here by me, and you keep clapping and pissing off that guy right over there. And I go, I can't. Paul over here is like, head is on a swivel.
You got Elway's behind him over here. You got this guy's pissed off.
Got to protect that way's blind side.
His flank is fucking wide open over here, man.
And so then I just keep, and I, Paul, who lives in Vegas, goes, this is why this shit's stupid. And I go, why, Paul? And he goes, people come here and they don't think about the fact, because what he's kept saying to me is like, they think that we are Chiefs fans. And you keep clapping. I go, Paul, for all these fuckers know, I bet the over. I don't give a shit who. I am cheering for somebody to score.
You're in the betting capital.
And to be honest, them taking the lead and scoring that touchdown did put it over the over. So I go, if they fucking come over, dude, all I'm going to say to them is, I bet the over. I don't care if your team wins. Tell them to score two more times in the last minute for all I give a shit. But I'm just betting the over. I go, that's all we're going to say. And so I just keep, I mean, and they just eat that clock and win that game. And then,
who won the game?
Chiefs won it. Yes. Yeah, because they weren't playing New England. And so they that game gets done, right? And that guy looks at me and he goes, I hope.
He say, I hope or I hope.
I hope you're happy with yourself. They were wet. Like, he thinks, oh,
you're the cooler, bro.
Well, he's already yelling at a TV screen in Vegas as though the players can fuck. Come on! Stop up! Like, shut the fuck up. That was
probably lost his mortgage payment.
He might have.
Dude, he looks so sad. And then they just kind of all went their separate ways. Like, Elway guy never came back.
Elway retired, man.
He did retire. They get done. They leave. Kansas City
Chief. Terrell Davis comes out of the bag.
CDs.
Kansas City Chief Montana behind the bar takes a handful of napkins in both things as the guy walks away, throws them up into the air like the whole Vegas celebrate. And I go, Paul, let's go fuck out of here. And then he goes, hey. And I go, yes, ma'am. And I look around. She goes, that fucking clap. You did it.
You did it.
The
best part is you got one guy thinking you did it the wrong way, right, and her thinking you did it the right way.
You got a hell of a clap. My husband clapped like he could hit like a son of a bitch. Oh, I kept telling Paul, I'm like, no one's going to get in a fight with us.
You got a hell of a clap.
I didn't engage with him. I didn't yell at him.
Best clap in comedy, y'all. Daniel Van Kirk, man. Kissing and clapping, everybody, at the comedy show.
That was just fun.
You told me a story. You're very perceptive.
Yeah.
You told me a story about, it was something about a girl walked in somewhere. You saw it. She got heated or something. You were like, I'm going to sit right here and watch this.
I was at
some
Big
shit's
Bear.
About to go down.
Do you go to Big Bear?
Do you make
it a thing that you do in California? Like, we all have our spots.
I've been about five or six times.
You haven't been?
I've only been to Arrowhead.
Oh my God! It's like Wisconsin.
Do you ski?
No, I don't. Okay. Do any of
there's such
either.
A great so little even, town. Yeah. Like it's a mountain.
It's
town.
Like
it's
like Wisconsin
awesome.
In California.
Yeah. How long's the drive? 4 hours?
Two?
No, two.
Two. Just up you get to Arrowhead. It's only like 20 more minutes up the mountain.
Oh, okay.
Just keep rolling up.
Yeah, you go left or right. If you hit that first little town. You go left to go to Big Bear, right up to
it's
Arrowhead.
Like 13 or 15 more miles up to the top of the mountain.
It's just
like
great. Yeah. And so there's a bar.
They do a
there
Christmas village up there. You should take the kids.
Called Murray's.
He's going to throw up.
Oh, he's car
why?
Sick.
Well, yeah. Every year we go up to Northern California, every time we go through the Muir Woods, he throws up. You
know, really?
And he still says, he goes, I throw up every time we go through the like, I got a hat that says Muir Woods. And he goes, what's that hat say, Dad? And I go, Muir Woods. He goes, that's where I throw up.
Yeah.
How long before he can sit in the front seat? 3 years?
No.
Wow, no,
man.
Rye knows, because didn't you say
I
Derek
think the law
recently?
Is like, we'll talk about it. When
80 pounds?
10, it's a weight or age. I think it might be like... Might be 10 or 11 years, and then you got to be a certain weight. You got to be enough now to have an airbag
then.
Come on.
Huh? He'll be fine when you get him in the front.
Probably.
Because I only get car sick in the back. I'm just assuming he'll probably be fine when you get him in the front seat.
I think, actually, no, coming down, he threw up. This is the last time we got down. We're like, oh, he's fine. He made it. Like, he made it the first time through, going up,
yeah,
and then coming down, he's like, I'm going to be sick. And we pulled, literally, guys, we were like, an entrance to like a restaurant, and we pulled right in and got out, and like it was an intersection, and he's just this little tiny 4-year-old body throwing up, chucking. It was so cute.
Well, I love it. I love going. I've been there a couple times. And so there's this bar called like Murray's or Murphy's, and it's the local bar, and it's a karaoke bar. And so I'm sitting
like there, right in that little area where the arcade and the pizza place is, and
yeah,
that downtown.
You go down one of those little side
streets.
Yeah,
you turn. Yeah.
And so the first time I was there, I can tell you both of these. So the first time I was there, it was me and Andy Wood, and
he just hit me up today.
He's a great dude. And I believe Dax Jordan and a few other people as well. But it's just like a little comedy getaway deal. And so I roll straight. I meet him there. We're having a great time. And there's a guy. The bar's kind of sparse because it was a Thursday night, so you weren't into the weekend, obviously. And there's a guy who's just kind of like a little too close to your group. And you're like, are you waiting to like grab somebody's purse? Or like, what are you doing, man? You know, and he would just be like, be cool. Would somebody want to buy me a drink? And you're like, sorry, buddy. We're just, I think everybody's just kind of getting their own. They're like, so I'll just sit here at your guys' table. And you're like, no, man, I think there's plenty of tables. We're just trying to have like our own time. So this is my first time ever in this bar.
Let me ask you, why you got a shaving kit in here?
Shaving kit's new play. And so he ends up getting thrown out of the bar. And then the door guy is also helping, like, bust tables. So I'm standing there. I'm the only person watching this. Everybody's singing songs or whatever. I'm watching the doorway. Guy gets thrown out. Bouncer walks back in. Oh, there's some glasses I can pick up. Walks to the end of the bar, picks up some glasses. While he's doing that, creepy guy comes back in, and a girl who's, like, a regular there goes, get out. And he goes, no. And she just cold cocks him right in the face.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, this is a great bar. So
he's wearing a Brett Favre Vikings jersey.
Yeah. So I'm back there again, and I'm sitting at the bar, and this woman walks in, like denim jacket, like but isn't the same denim as her pants. Like it's like a stonewashed black. Yeah.
Denim on denim.
And she walks in, and I'm just like, that girl is mad. That she is mad about something. But she wasn't, it was kind of like
Hey, sure.
And you're like, but you're mad. And then there's another guy who's wearing this like, it's like a, literally in my mind, like the logo was like Roids for Bros shirt. Like it was like just a steroid, and he was just compact and jacked, and he's just walking around like shoulders out, like, you know. And so he's in there, and then there's another guy wearing an InfoWars shirt, right?
A what?
InfoWars?
Remember that?
Alex Jones shit? Yeah. And I'm like, you're either wearing...
Currently banned from what, everything. YouTube, everything. I think he's banned from the internet.
I'm like, you're either wearing that because you believe it and you're a dick, or you think it's funny and you're a dick. But like, either way...
You're a dick.
Yeah. And so... there's all these characters in, and I'm not shitting you. I leave that bar an hour later, and blonde hair girl is outside with Roy's bro shirt, dude, and she is just screaming at him.
This is Dion D?
Yeah. She's like, you want to fucking go? You want to fucking hit me? Let's fucking go. And I'm, and
that guy's like,
I'm over here.
Clap.
You got a great clap.
And so I'm standing there, and I'm watching, and how is this going to go? So I look back at the door guy, and the door guy isn't even getting off his stool. And he's sitting, I'm like, this must be every weekend for these two.
They're sick of it.
And so she like pushes him into a fence, and then they flip around, and her back to the fence, and then she like runs up on him, and he pushes her back with his head. And now I'm in that gray area where I'm like, did he kind of just physically assault her a little bit? Like, did he sort of headbutt her? But it wasn't head to head, but he like pushed her with his head. And so then she stands back in the middle of the street, and she's like, let's fucking fight right now. And I'm like, oh, you're both in on this fight. This isn't like one person abusing another person.
The fuck out of the road. I got to get tire chains on by 4:30.
Yeah, it was, dude, that was just so intense. And I just walked away to the sweet sounds of those two just yelling it. And the door guy not even moving off of his stool.
That's some regular
You got to go to Big Bear.
I love Big Bear. I've been.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you guys a story about Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
I tweeted this whole thing as it happened.
It's Rye's favorite airline.
It's mine, too.
Freaking flyer, man.
You are? You're A-list?
Yeah. I'm not A-list.
Well, one of us
You
is.
Fly a lot more than I do.
Yeah. So,
but I do go ahead and pay the money for their check-in. I'm A-list. I'm A-list for a fee. You know what I'm saying?
$15? Don't That's mind it. If I do.
I'll forget that. I got to get those aisle seats because of this compression pad, man. I can't be stuck in the middle or a fucking window. Hell, I got to get up every night, every 90 minutes.
I walk. I get on. So I am always like first one, two, three people on the plane, right? And so how it works, for those who don't know, if you are a pre-board, you are not allowed to sit in the exit row because you've said, I have some physical limitation. I need to get on the plane before the general public.
Mm-hmm.
Once you set yourself aside like that, you're also saying, yeah, so don't trust me to be able to open a door because I can't get on a plane regularly.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if you fly Southwest as much as I do, you'll see people be like, yeah, I got a sciatic thing. Like, okay, there you go. You can pre-board. And then they get on there and they're like, going straight to that exit row. But what happens is when
because you can just pick your seat or whatever.
Seat. Yeah. But what happens is when you're the first person in general boarding, they tell you, keep your boarding pass. We don't take it. Hand it to the flight attendant when you walk on and say you are the first person. And if they haven't gotten that handed to them yet, nobody should be in the exit row because general boarding hasn't even started. Everybody on this plane should be a pre-board. That's it. So I walk on.
Fucking rule of
So you get on before you get on before military and because I'm right at the end. That's the one thing I do like about flying with my daughter. No matter when I check in, I get right at the end of the A's before
right.
the B's.
That's family
so you
boarding.
Always get a good
that's
fucking,
family boarding.
You always get a solid
Dude, that's
seat.
When you're going to get your business and business select.
Mm-hmm. Shut your
that's
fucking
That's right.
He is right.
You'll also get your extra time then, but that goes by the airport. Some airports will give – if you can get extra time, which
on
means
what?
You don't have a medical ailment, you just need extra time to get on the plane.
Oh, extra
but,
time
but
to
you,
get on.
But you do not – then get to sit in the exit row either mm-hmm. because you asked for extra time. But your extra time only comes after the A group. So many times I've gotten on this where I'm the first person. And so I walk onto this plane and I am flying to Portland to do a show. I get on the plane. I'm walking on tarmac. Pre-boarders have already gone on. I come down the little ramp thing. I get to the flight attendant and I go, I'm your general boarder. And he goes, he's a guy. He looks like a troll doll with his hair and a long ponytail. I'm talking mid back ponytail.
Of course. Right? I mean, he works for Southwest.
Braided?
Bro.
What?
Braided?
Nope. Running straight.
Retired Elway jersey on? Straight. You know, they're allowed to wear their football yeah, football
are,
gear on Sundays. They're a proud sponsor of the NFL
so,
and of the Crafties.
So, got a little late, but we're happy to have them. So, and he goes, You are. And I go, yep. And he goes, okay. This is our general boarding. And now there's a flight attendant at the
He has to say that out loud for everybody.
You do
on the plane
to let
here.
All the other flight attendants know general boarding is started. So there's a person at the middle who's already talking to people in the exit row. And because I walk in, I'm like, no one should be in the exit. I'm the first person that should be in an exit row. So I walk in, and these people are going, well, this is ridiculous. This isn't even fair. I mean, we need more time. We need more room for our legs. And they're like, and this flight attendant, we'll call her Kathy. Kathy is saying, folks, look, I understand. I'm just telling you, FAA regulations, we can't take off. If somebody who has a pre-existing condition, you know, this ain't no fucking Obamacare. You got a pre-existing condition. Right. You can't.
You ain't going to get that door open with that rheumatoid arthritis. Right. Now you're going to have to move one row back.
So they're telling them, and they are pissed off, right? They are pissed. Well, this is ridiculous. We said we.
How did they get on?
Because they were pre-boarders, but they can't go sit in that exit
These
row.
Pre-boarders are ruining this goddamn country.
Fucking right. ruining Southwest for so, people like me.
So I walk in, and they are hot. I mean, there. And this Kathy is saying to them, "Okay, like you know, They don't do this on Ryanair.
I understand. Ryanair, they'll let you do whatever you want.
Yeah, you see that racist shit go down? They made the black lady move.
I know, man. Well, this is probably not where you want to sit.
Yeah.
So they're hot, right? And I kind of make my way past them, and I sit down in the exit row. Okay. So
they make them leave, and now did you sit in their seats?
No.
You do that kind of shit. I feel like that's the clap, right?
Yeah, so, big time.
I'll sit right where they sit.
So I sit on the other side. Okay. And I'm sitting,
and you're like, where can I put my artificial leg?
Yeah, exactly.
I propped the door open with it when we crashed.
Wait till everybody gets the luggage up there, and then I lay it across.
Right.
I got a dead arm.
So she moves them, and they're at about the fourth or fifth row. They've been, and they are hot, still hot. Right?
Are they all together?
It's two of them. It's a man and a woman. Okay, and they're like, "This is ridiculous. We are writing a letter, and Kathy's doing a damn good job. I understand how you feel. We just can't exit here.
Yep.
I mean, nobody else is really on the plane yet because everybody behind me. I got past them, but everybody behind me is waiting for them to find their new seats. So they go and they sit down, and she gets them into new seats, and she has them. I would say 90% calmed down. She's like, go ahead, feel free to ride an email. She knows it's not going to fucking go anywhere. It's also not her problem. She didn't have to die on the hill for the airline.
Yeah, right.
Like, just be like, I totally understand. We just have regulations that we can't take off. Da, 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 da. And then here comes Ponytail, right? And he walks up, and she's almost got this to bed. These kids are about to go to bed, right? And I'm watching the whole thing. And he walks up, and he goes, what's the problem here? And they go, you won't even let it. I mean, they're back right in. He goes, what do you want to do? And then she's like, they're like, we want to sit in the exit row. He goes, you see that guy right back there? Points, right? And they go, we don't know him. He's like, it doesn't matter. That's general boarding right there. Okay. And if you were after him, you could sit there. But now you got to sit here. And they are hot. So now they're screaming at Kathy again. He walks back up to the front of the plane, grabs the PA system and goes, all right. If you did not get on,
there's
with
three
general-
people on the plane.
Is it just
real?
The three?
Yes. Nobody else is boarded yet because
troll
they've held
had.
This all up.
That's small right. Troll like me, man.
If you did not get on this plane with general boarding, you cannot sit in an exit row. Okay? Do not sit in an exit row. You are not allowed to sit in an exit row. You were not part of general boarding. Now, he's talking to only them. But guess who's the only person in an exit row right then?
You.
Me. So now here comes a flight attendant from the back who thinks I'm the person he's talking
of course.
To. And she walks up and she goes, sir. And I go, I'm not the people you're looking for right now. And she goes, you can't be an extra. I go, he's talking to those two people right down there. And she makes an executive decision in her life to have nothing to do with this. She takes two steps backwards, turns around and goes back to the end of the plane.
Doesn't say anything to them either.
Doesn't say anything to them. Right? So then...
I love people like that.
That's a business decision
like,
is what that
Kathy,
is.
Kathy and Troll are handling
they
this.
Got it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back here and have a ginger ale.
I had a little bit of this fucking Jack Daniels for my ginger ale.
So Kathy almost has them soothed all the way back down.
Twice now.
Yeah. And people are starting to board the plane. Okay? And she's talking to them. And they were like, because we're allergic. Okay, and we can't have peanuts because now they've decided to say, "Oh, we don't can't sit there." Well, then you guys can't serve peanuts because we're allergic.
We're gonna take that away from you, Southwest.
Right. So,
do they even serve peanuts anymore? Everyone's pretzels are a fucking biscotti.
No, they still get some
on
peanuts.
Southwest
on
Honey Roast. Yeah.
So
they don't say
they
don't, no.
Yeah,
they're not.
Yeah, they do. Yes,
Honey
yes,
Roast.
Yeah. I mean, that's a reason to switch, man. I got status over in America.
Tell
my
you,
fucking mouth.
I got
no leg room, but I got honey nut fucking peanuts.
I get two bags. No, all right, girl.
So he go.
They will
troll
one time. I don't mean to interrupt you, but there was one time I asked for more peanuts on the plane, and the fucking lady came with a clear like trash bag that had, I'm not kidding you, like 80 little packs in it, and she lassoed it and threw it in my fucking lap and walked away. And I said, Jesus Christ! I took them home, gave them to my friend's mom. Put them a little bowl for everybody to eat when they came in the house.
Well,
say Southwest on them.
Uh huh.
Red or blue?
Honey roasted
red,
reds,
right? Yep. So now there's maybe like
it's
a third of the people on the plane. Okay, and they're like, because we're allergic. All right. So you want to know part of the reason we had to pre-board? We're allergic to peanuts.
What is that?
anything.
I don't hear that this is what they're saying, but this is what they're saying because troll guy walks back up shit. Over to them. He goes, what?
What? That's his customer service.
He goes, what? And they go, they tell him. He goes, huh, okay. He walks back up to the front of the plane, grabs that fucking PA again, and goes, well, guys, looks like nobody's getting peanuts because two people on this flight are allergic. Now, Kathy almost had them dunked.
Aisle 22, seats B and C.
Kathy almost had them dunked. Now, they're back. We don't want people knowing our allergies.
So they're screaming.
Now everybody
we don't
knows.
Want people knowing yes, our
we don't want people knowing. He should not. And Kathy's like, I understand. I mean, Kathy is pro.
Yeah, she is.
Pro, right?
Can I ask, you definitely did this little job with the ticket just because you saw those two clowns.
No, he hadn't heard them yet.
No.
No, I mean from jump.
I haven't rounded the corner yet. I didn't even right. see. Yeah,
but
yeah,
it makes sense to me now why Troll Guy aggressively said, this is our general
board. Because he's probably watched them try to go get in there, and he was like, I don't think we're in general.
No.
And then when I gave it to him, he was like, I've got all I need.
Gen Pop has begun.
So he walked. Okay, we're not getting peanuts because two people on this flight are allergic, so no one gets peanuts, right? And then we don't want people knowing our allergies.
Knowing our allergies is hilarious.
Dude, I'm not shitting you. They keep yelling, right?
They're yelling that?
Yeah. And I don't know if this falls into some sort of like, oh, we have disgruntled passengers or what, okay? About a minute.
But yelling it to the point where people are still boarding, putting their shit up, looking around like, what the fuck's going on?
Kathy's got them. Soothed almost all the
everybody
way
settled.
Yeah, I mean, people like tried to put stuff in their overhead, you know, and they're just like, I'm just gonna move right along.
Is Kathy taking that aisle seat too? Like, she's leaning like a knee on it to talk to them and calm down. She's, she's in my seat
because she's trying to let people behind her,
get by.
And but she's like, look, I understand he probably shouldn't have made it clear that it was two people, but no one knows.
I'm sorry, he said something about cats. Who knew you were allergic to those?
Right. You do have
one in your carry-on, sir.
Right.
We don't want people knowing our allergies. It's so fucking funny to me. Screaming that.
So he says, I don't know if this is part of, like I said, some sort of they already saw some disgruntled customers or whatever, but he goes.
He's on the horn
front,
still?
From the front, off PA.
Off PA.
Off PA. He goes, you're still upset? And they're like, we didn't want to sit here, and you told people our allergies. He grabs that PA one more time. I'm not shitting you guys.
Do you hear it like click and turn on? You know, like.
And he goes, all right, looks like nobody's having any fun today. The bar is closed. No one can get a cocktail on this flight because some people don't know how to relax.
Wow. Click.
Click. Click. And I'm like,
and I work on commission, so
the pilot's like, bullshit.
How long is this flight?
It's Portland, what is it, an hour and a half? Two hours?
Yeah.
So in the meantime now.
So now peanuts and alcohol have been cut off.
I love this guy.
Cut off. Troll guy is not.
He ain't fucking around.
No,
he probably lives in Portland. He's like, we're getting the fuck up there and I'm getting off.
Sorry, but
he's got a 2-foot ponytail that's not braided. He lives in Portland.
So
my favorite food truck leaves at 3:30. We gotta get these wheels up.
So I'm in the meantime, an old timer has come down and sat.
Retired Elway's back, bro.
He's this lanky looking, like a wiry Clint Eastwood type guy, right? And he sits down in the aisle. I'm in the window in the exit row. He sits in the aisle. Nobody's in the middle, and no one will be in the middle the rest of this flight. So it's me and him sitting there. And he goes, after the bar thing, he goes, what's this all about? And I go, see those two people right up there? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, they tried to sit in that exit row. They got kicked out of there. They almost got calmed down. And then that dude with the ponytail came in, riled them all the way back up, found out they were allergic to peanuts, told everybody, we're not having peanuts because of two people when there was only seven on the plane at that point. Then he declared that no one's having any fun today, and for reasons I don't really understand at this moment, the bar has been closed. And this guy, old-timer, looks at me, and he goes, well, fuck that. I brought my own peanuts, and I'm eating them the whole way there.
They ain't honey roasted, bro.
Right. He's literally, he was not having any of this shit.
He was right. Having peanuts, though, right. But. Right.
In the exit row.
In the exit row.
So I start talking to this guy. And
is it just the two of you? Yeah. No middle? No middle in there?
No middle.
That's nice. Man.
I start talking to this guy, and this flight takes
off. That's like junior JV first class.
Mm-hmm. This flight takes off. And before we're even off, I should say, I find out that this guy next to me, his name is Jack. I don't remember his last name at the time. He played in the Major League Baseball Association. What did you say? He played in the majors?
Yeah.
MLB.
He played in the MLB for, I think he said, 14 seasons. He
Blackjack?
Won.
Jack? Jack Morris?
Who the fuck is it? He won a World Series with the Dodgers in, what was that, 68, 70?
No, 82.
When 81. Did Fernando? No.
81. Was Fernando Valenzuela was a rookie one. Who? Rookie of the year. Fernando Valenzuela?
That's Valenzuela.
How about Valenzuela?
Valenzuela?
I don't know Venezuela, man.
Yo, how much you two love when somebody says something.
Oh, he's jumping up and down. He gets me all the time.
I ain't worried about it.
He gets me all. There's a t-shirt out of my fuck up, so I get excited when he does one. Hey, Venezuela.
You know what?
That's a country.
It wasn't a fuck up. I always have thought that was his name. I got his rookie card.
That doesn't mean it's right. You don't have a.
I'm not saying
I'm
it's right.
I'm telling you right now, you don't have a Fernando Venezuela rookie card.
I got a Valenzuela, baby.
But we got a surprise for you because he can still throw a hit.
Fernando, what's that song?
In he played with 66, they lost to the Orioles in the World Series, but so it was probably right around that time.
Wasn't
I think
it
they
during
were in
Bobby
that.
Kennedy's deal that they won? Bobby Kennedy getting shot? Wasn't that when they were throwing off
the
no-hitters?
Is this what this guy fucking told you?
No, I looked. We were not. I bought the Wi-Fi to keep live tweeting this entire event.
Oh, okay. That's why he bought the Wi-Fi.
So he ends up, he played for the Dodgers. He played, I think, for the Cardinals. And so I'm just starting.
He probably won a lot of World
yeah,
Series.
I just started asking him questions about, you've got to tell me.
63, 65, 81, 88. There's also a 55 and a 59.
It probably was 81 then. Maybe
that was Fernando Valenzuela.
Maybe he was like
81.
70 to 84.
That's when Kirk Gibson hit the home run.
Yeah, the pump. And
yeah.
Oh, wait, wasn't that 88?
70
they
to 84.
They went in 88? Right? 88 was, yeah, against Eckersley. And the Dodgers won. Wasn't that 88?
Jack?
88.
Mix, okay. Jack mixed something. Okay. And so now I'm like, wait. You were a professional athlete on the Dodgers in the 70s. Because certainly there's this feeling in Chicago that no one had more fun than professional athletes in Chicago in the 70s and 80s. Because you could just do whatever.
All athletes across
right.
the country,
back then, right?
They could do whatever
God,
you want.
Yeah. God.
I mean, still to this day, but yes, yeah, certainly
and
back then.
And dude, I'm asking him so many questions about, you know, did you ever get in fights? Tell me about the umps. How do you feel the game is now? He was an ambassador of the Dodgers for a long time. It just ends up, I'm sitting now in the story inside this story is me getting to hang out with a fucking World Series champion. And he's just an amazing guy.
Welcome to the story inside the story.
Yep. Right.
I'm Daniel Venker.
So he's telling me all the story, right? And then I go, what was just like some weird shit? And he was like, there was a girl named Chicago Sherry. And when you were in town, she would find out what hotel the visiting teams were in. And then Chicago Sherry had a list of every major league player she slept with. And he's like, you understand, this is late 60s, early 70s. Nobody, it's just, well, everybody's having fun. More power to her. He was so woke about it. He's like, that's her body. That's her decision. As long as everybody's having a good time, she should do whatever she wants. And he's telling me, he's like, I had a roommate once, and he left a message for me at the front desk, said, don't come up to the room. I got Chicago Sherry up here. Yeah.
I was like, I made that list
Chicago
2 years ago.
Chicago Sherry! Right.
Now,
yeah, girl.
Now, troll. Troll guy is still.
He's still in effect.
He's pissed.
Still making
he's
his
hot.
Way around, right? And Jack is just eating these fucking.
Are they, please tell me he's throwing shells on the fucking
dude,
ground.
He's got a bag of mixed nuts, and he's just
they're like, shelled already.
Just eating
though.
Them, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a shame.
And so
I just feel like he's the type
version
of dude
he was, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. And so I Jack, he knows the whole speed of what's going on, right? And I see Troll Guy like walking up the center aisle, and I go, "Hey, Jack, watch this!" Right? And he comes along, he gets right up by. I go, "Hey." He's like asking, you know, if they do the thing, you throw your garbage away. I go, hey. And the guy goes, yeah. And I go, The fuck's a guy got to do to get some peanuts on this flight?
No.
I swear to God. And he goes, oh, you got me.
Troll loved it.
He loved it. He absolutely loved it.
Good for him.
So then we land the plane, right? And he go he gets on and he goes, we want to thank all of you guys for flying Southwest. We sure did enjoy having all but two of you on the flight today. And he's still holding on to this shit. So they get up. They're still hot. He leaves. They leave. We're all walking out. And I get up there to the front, right there by the cockpit when you're walking out. And I see Troll standing there. And he holds his fist out to me, bumps him, and I bump him. And then with his other hand, just like you already told, he holds up a garbage bag full of peanuts and goes, take this with you.
Did he really?
He gives me an entire bag. Oh,
that's what I got. That lady lassoed it. And
I tried.
I was giving them to people around me. I guess y'all.
He was a short fella, so when he held them up, I thought he was like, take a couple. And so I reach in. And he goes, no. Take
quiet.
The whole goddamn
thing. Trying to put it in your
thing.
Hand like yeah. a 20. No, dude, take it off.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's a office garbage can
that's exactly
bag
what
size.
It is. Yes, it is.
Of peanuts, and he was like, take them all.
Working at Spirit Airline now.
That is hilarious.
Dude, I walk off that flight. Jack and I walk all the way to baggage claim. Like, we give each other a big hug, and I go outside, and I wait for my pickup. You know what it was? It was Boise. That's where I was going, not Portland. It was a 208 Comedy Festival. And I'm like, shit. And I will tell you guys this, too, as a testament to how much I love you both and I love this show. I was like, I could do this show. I could do this story on stage tonight. And I'm like, mm-mm. Next time I'm back on the feast, I'm going to tell this. I've never told it.
Hot thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, oh my, you just, you know, I mean, it's we brought it up. You brought it a million times. Wrong number. The Playboy Mansion. You just have these things where you're in it. You're in the middle of it. And you're like, this is all gold.
Oh,
feel like 1949 in San Francisco and you found a vein. A gold vein. And you're just chipping. And it's not going away. There was so much. And I don't think it's on my Instagram, but it is in my Twitter feed. I took a picture of Ponytail and I got him.
You do?
Yeah. And I was not saying what airline it was. And when I tweeted that picture out, people were like, oh, good. Southwest. Okay. Because I can see his
of
uniform.
Course, yeah.
They know right away. But I love Southwest so much. And in my opinion,
he was great.
He pushed it enough to be funny, but they shouldn't have really. He didn't. Oh, dude. When he closed the bar. And then when I said, what do you got to do to get some fucking peanuts on this flight? And he loved it. Oh, it was just.
Maybe he had to shut the bar down if people were like acting
that's what
up
I
like
wondered.
That.
That's what I'm saying. If they were like, well, look, we already have. If we've identified
like one irate passenger,
you
two,
can't give
definitely.
If we've identified two or even one disgruntled passenger before we even take off,
or
and then we open up the bar,
yeah.
We're liable. You gave them alcohol after you knew they were a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Looks like nobody's having fun today. It was just beautiful. I'll show you the pic before we get
yeah,
off.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, my God.
Do you have time for another one?
What's on there?
Well, I do want to talk to you a little bit about your grandma, but that Brad and you in the alley.
It's not as good.
All right, you're honest.
Yeah.
What
are you talking about? My grandma was just in town.
I heard she slept her way right through the city.
Hey, it's her body.
She did take a lot of naps.
So you
did she
flew.
Stay with you?
How old's your grandma?
88 years old.
Did she stay with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You flew to Chicago to fly her here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so jealous of that. I wish my grandmother was still.
You know
around.
What?
I would love to.
We were making jokes earlier, but I said this past week.
That's
I
go, so awesome.
I go, I'll trade not having a dad for having 35 plus years of a great grandma.
Fuck yeah.
Well, first of all, you did.
I know. So, I'm saying gladly. That,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I was like, this is worth. How many people get to have their grandma?
I know
that long.
My grandma died at 69, still young, and it just bums me out because I hear that and I'm like, oh, she could still be here,
dude. That's 19 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, she and to still be like traveling, going halfway across the country, and every day doing something fun with me. I mean, it was like. She flew back today on the day we're recording this, and last night I was just a wreck. Just a wreck. I'm like, I should have flown back with her. Because on her coming here, I felt like, and the two of you are going to punch me and laugh at me for saying this, but I felt like on the way coming here, I'm like, oh, this is what it's like having a toddler. Because I'm constantly being like, do you want anything to eat? I brought some food. Do you need a drink? Because we can get you anything to drink. How about, I'll show you how to work the iPad. Here, I got, because she has hearing aids, so she has to use over-the-ear speakers. So I'm like, let's put your speakers on. So she's like watching Law & Order, SVU, until she falls asleep. And then she wakes up, and I'm like, do you want to play cards? Like, I'm just trying to keep her, like, comfortable and entertained. And I thought, well, yeah, it's been 15 years since she's been on a plane, but after she flies here, it'll have been 5 days. Like, she'll be good to go back. And to be honest, she was a lot less nervous.
Yeah, did you walk her up to the...
Of course. But what I didn't realize was, oh, it's not just that she's fine flying. I'm not there to make it comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew she'd be fine, but I was worried she wasn't going to be comfortable. And so last night, it's midnight, and I'm looking for 24-hour Walgreens to go find over-the-ear headphones because she can't figure out how to use my Bluetooth ones that plug in, but they can't plug into her phone because we got her a newer iPhone. So then I have to give her my iPad to take back that, you know, you just plug it in. And luckily, it was still on the Southwest webpage, so it would auto-reload just when she, as long as Wi-Fi was working, it would just auto-reload. And I was like, you just tap. Look, luckily I could show. I'm like, look right here. You just hit live TV. You'll have all that stuff you had
before. You get the go-go in flight to work for you all the time?
Yeah.
But you can't stream on that, right?
No.
Okay.
But then I also
went
on...
you can text and do email?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never get that shit.
And then I also went on to Netflix and downloaded four episodes of Hawaii 5-0, four episodes of NCIS, four episodes of Criminal Minds, just set her up with that CBS lineup. And I'm not joking.
8, 9, 10 o'clock.
She was so happy. Yeah. And I was up till probably 1 or 2. I was emotional because I'm like, her trip back is going to be horrible.
How long was she out here?
5 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm literally like, you know, you say this with hyperbole.
How old is she? 88?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're the most precious cargo in my life, and I should be flying back with you. And so we get to the airport today, and she's more chill than I am about it, you know? Plus, also, I'm like, I really liked having her here, so I'm going to miss her, and I'm putting her on a plane. Remember when you were a kid, somebody gets on a plane, you cry? Did you guys have any of that? Oh, yeah, your dad, you could fly all the time, right?
Well, yeah, we flew a lot.
Yeah. For some reason, it was like, you're going away. I don't know why when I was a kid, but I felt some of that again. I'm like, my grandma's going away. I'm like, I go months without seeing her. So we're walking there, and I'm like, do you want food? You know, and first of all, we do the pass thing so I can go through TSA. She gets pre-check. They give her pre-check. They don't give me pre-check. And so the lady pushing her is like, we're going to go through pre-check, and you just wait in one of these lines. And the line's all long. And I go, no. And she's like, well, she's pre-check. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to go through that and be done in about 2 minutes. And then I'm going to be separated from her for about 15, which defeats the entire purpose of me being here with her when she travels today. Well, I guess we'll put her in the general one. Then I go, okay. And they walk us right up to the front of the general one. And I'm like, why didn't you do that in the first place?
Seriously.
Lady was very nice, but lately I feel like I don't shy away from confrontation. I'm not looking for an altercation, but I'll be like, no, that's not how this is going to work. So we go right through the thing. We get up, and they tell me too. I go, can I just walk her through? That's what I asked when we very first got there. We're like, no, you have to give her to the wheelchair person, and that person will take her all the way to the gate. So once we get through TSA, we're starting to walk past the food court. I go, Grandma, do you want anything here? And she's like, oh, does she want food? And I go, yeah, I think so, but you got to take us all the way to the gate. When, to be honest, if you dropped us off here, that's quicker. You get back there and make another tip. She's like, yeah, do you just want to take her right now?
That's great.
Why wouldn't you want to? The more of these you do, the more money you make. Right. Because everybody should be tipped. We tip. I don't know anybody who wouldn't. If my family's tipping, and they're not like my family's thinking we should tip, then everybody is probably thinking that.
Yeah.
So we
I've seen old ladies in wheelchairs getting pushed, and they have their little money in their hand. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Bag of peanuts, honey. Thank you.
And you know what? When people argue tip, not tip, is there a more appropriate? I'm sure there
what
is
do you
a
get
more.
$5 for that?
But I say at least 10. You're literally getting pushed through an airport. You've gotten special service, and
fair
you're
enough.
This is real service. So, and a lot of those people, I'm sure somebody traveling alone, they might be the most comforting person they see that day through the most stressful time of getting through the air. Sometimes once you're up in the air, you just let it go, but everything up till then. So she leaves and we start walking through the food court, and I'm like, well, you got Einstein Brothers. What? I just want like a sandwich. And I'm like, okay, we got this. I go, then we should go back over there. We'll get you a sandwich and a water. You can save in case you get hungry on the flight. And I look up And on the other side of me, not the Van Kirks, that's my grandma, Rosemary Van Kirk, and my mom's side. On the other side of my family, I look up and there's my uncle sitting in this food court. Uncle Mike. Yeah. So the guy
like
who...
by sheer in L.A.?
Yeah. And he lives in Chicago. And I go...
And do they talk?
She's known him. That's my mom's former brother-in-law. She's known him for over 40 years. And I walk up and I go, look who's sitting right there. I go, that's Mike Knoll. And I go, we walk up and I go, hey, is Mike Knoll in this airport? And he's like, hello! You know, he's the most gregarious guy. And we sit there and we're talking to him. And I'm like, yeah, we're getting on a flight. And he's like, which one? And I go, the 130 flight. And he goes, I'm on that flight too.
Oh, how about that?
And I'm like, wait. You're on the same flight that she is. He goes, yeah, we should sit together. And I could start crying right now.
I would too.
I'm like, are you shitting me right now?
So how old is he? 50, 60s?
65. And so.
He's like, you know what I like to do? I go in there, I tell him my leg hurts. And I go right to the exit.
Don't worry, I got a bag of peanuts, Grandma.
And so. Because she's like, well, because that's my thing with the grandma. She's like, are they going to help me with my bag? I'm like, Grandma, they are flight attendants. They attend to you. And there is no one more deserving of someone's attention than you are. So, yeah, you say, can you put my bag up there for me? Can you get something out of my bag? Can you show me how to get on the Wi-Fi? That's their job. And 99% of the people on the plane are never going to take advantage of that.
Now, so, if he's got a long ponytail,
you tell that motherfucker. No, you tell that motherfucker I said, what's up? Give him one of these peanuts for him. So, we get some Chick-fil-A. Uncle Mike sits with her the whole time while I go get the food.
I was going to joke and say, just leave us right here at this Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. And we walk up, and then I say, Uncle Mike, you gunning for that exit row? Because if he is, he can't get on with her. He can't take her down to the plane because then he's pre-boarding. And so...
when did Chick-fil-A get in the Southwest Terminal?
Dude, they got a whole new food court there and everything. I was just there. There's a Trejo's Tacos.
I was there in July, August. 2 months ago,
yeah,
and it was all
back. It's in the like where
past the CPK.
No, before that, right that, when that you is, go up
that's
to
that's in the last 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. So I say, you got an extra? He goes, oh, I love that extra. I go, yeah, but is that where you like to sit? He goes, I'm like B36 or something. I go, would you mind?
Not today.
Yeah, would you mind taking my grandma down the tarmac?
The tarmac.
He's outside now.
Man, I don't know. What do you call it?
They're out there in the fucking out on the runway.
Fucking Venezuela over here, Boston nuts.
You take it off, and you see Grandma just running loose, and just like,
could someone help me on the plane?
On the luggage, she's out there on the luggage
she's
truck
on the
with the steps.
Going up.
She's like Commando, like Arnold and Commando.
Yeah, seriously.
So I said, "Would you mind?" And he goes, "No, not at all." And so. I went from freaking out to just by the most random just circumstance of like, holy shit. And so I talked to her to Atlanta. She took multiple naps. She watched the Law and Order SVU. Uncle Mike and her talked the whole time. She said he helped make the flight so great. And I just was like, he's like, I would love for you to come to dinner next time you're in Chicago. I'm like, I'll take you to 9 dinners.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how this just worked out for me.
Yeah.
But just having her here, and I want to have her on an episode of one of my many podcasts.
Well, I saw that she was on the Andrew Santino episode.
Which was so great, too. And the Chicago guy.
Yeah, I thought you had her on. I was
so she was in the room.
When I saw that, I was like, wow.
We didn't have enough mics in that studio where we did it. But she was there, and we talked to her a lot. And we talked about her wedding night. A guy, like a friend of her new husband's, my grandfather, had asked my grandpa. So they're in Rochelle and they're driving up to like Wisconsin or something. So they go through Rockford, Illinois, which is north of our hometown. Something like this. He asked my grandpa if he could get a ride after the wedding up and get dropped off in Rockford. And my grandpa said, yeah, of course. So they're newlyweds, driving away, dragging cans.
And
about halfway through the flight, my grandma said she looked and she goes, Bob? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, how come he's not saying anything to us? And he goes, well, because as he should be, he's embarrassed with himself for asking us if he can get a ride on our wedding night. But she said he didn't say a single damn word. And she, just this, I mean, she just told me so. I mean, she's born
Yeah, what
the Depression year? Kicks off 1930.
30.
So she's seen indoor plumbing up to now. You know,
you should do hindsight with her, but they didn't have cameras when she, you know.
You should.
She told me she still has my grandpa's wallet, and in that wallet is a picture of her in a swimming suit when she was like 19 years old. Wow. And she gave me a ring that he made.
Oh, yeah.
He made it.
Yeah. He worked at like a jewelry, like a watch factory.
Oh, really?
And so he had all of this stuff for like working with metal and everything.
My grandfather, my brother has a ring that my dad made, my grandfather made out of a bullet.
Ooh.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's like all flattened out. It's silver, says his name on it. And it's like,
that's
fucking
amazing.
Dope.
So I went in with her.
It's out of a shell or something.
I ran into a jewelry store here in LA and I said, because I'm talking a smidge too small for a ring finger.
Yeah.
And it's too big for my pinky. And so I said, hey, can you make this a little bit bigger or make it a little bit smaller?
You want to wear it on a necklace or something? It.
Well, and they go, well, what is it? What type of metal? And I go, steel? I have no idea. And they're like, well, let me check. This girl runs to the back. She gives it to a
this
guy.
This is kryptonite!
And then he takes it. He takes it, and he goes into a room. I'm seeing all this, and then he comes back, and she walks up to me. Guys, I know maybe by this point, if you've listened to me enough on the Crab Feast, you have an idea of where I come from and what Rochelle, Illinois might be like, okay?
Yeah.
This woman walks up to me and goes, we can't do anything with this ring. And I say, why? And she goes, it's titanium. And I'm like,
titanium?
There's no way that's titanium. She's like, I'm telling you it's titanium. I go, look, I'm from Rochelle, Illinois. I don't think titanium has ever made it to Rochelle.
They don't even have that line of cars,
right? I mean,
in Rochelle,
somebody might have gone to Chicago for a surgery and gotten some sort of rod in place.
Yeah,
but no, there's no way that's titanium. And then I go, so you can't make it smaller than either.
They can't do anything.
She goes, well, we can't change it at all. We don't have that equipment. And I go, all right. And she goes, now there is another thing you could do though, if you want to wear it. And I go, what's that? And she's like, get a chain, put it on a chain, and I go, whoa, 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 what are you talking about here? And she says, once it's on the chain, you put the chain, I'm like, around my ankle? She goes, no, you'll wear it around your neck, and then even I'm like a necklace. And she's like, exactly. I go, you have been so helpful. Like, what the hell?
Let me give you some peanut.
What do you think I'm going to do? Like, yeah, that's an option. But isn't there also an option to...
They can add a belt loop on that thing.
Yeah.
What's that?
Not a belt. I mean, I just made that up. Oh. But basically, they'll strap on here and here, and then it's just like another piece in here. So it just makes it smaller.
Right.
Oh, I see. On the
inside. Yeah, on the inside. And then you can wear it on that. Yeah, so she...
But maybe they can't titanium so hard. Maybe they can't even attach anything to it.
I don't know. They
sounded like they don't work very hard.
You need to tell somebody.
That guy with the ponytail working there?
She told me, she's like, I've been meaning to give you that for years. And that's the stuff to me when I'm like, thank God you're still alive.
Yeah,
in 88,
dude.
You could have gone 2 years ago and completely forgotten.
I have
forgotten.
So many questions I'd love to ask.
She also gave me my grandpa's blanket from the military.
Oh, man. That's dope.
Cool.
Yeah.
That old wool itchy blanket.
Yeah. It's just, just having her around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that goes for anybody. We've all lost people young and had people old, but like, maximize that fucking time.
Agreed, 100%.
Just whatever it is. So, yeah, it was phenomenal having her here.
That's awesome.
Well, I'll say this has been a phenomenal episode, dude. Thank you for coming on.
Always great hanging with you.
You get a lot of sad goodbyes?
This isn't sad at all. This is a great...
I know. I don't mean sad.
It's a great way to sum up the show and sum up your appearances
and
your life.
Man.
We have had so much fun
with you. I still think I might do Gary the Goat on stage at some point.
You need to
I've written
that.
A pilot about one of the stories
here. Nah, but I wish I did. That whole... Was an uncle or an uncle-in-law?
No,
or
it was my cousin's boyfriend.
In-law. You don't like my ham sandwich? I pissed in it.
Did you really?
That's what he said to me.
I know. I said,
did you really?
No.
What I, but I wish I did. I would give it to you one more time.
Dude, every one of your appearances has been absolutely stellar. You
Thanks,
are
man.
Absolutely.
I still get people being like, hey, I just listened to you pass up 4 3-ways and I
yeah,
hate you.
I know, I know. Yeah, I still see that from time to time, dude.
Dude, anytime. One time I posted on Twitter, I said, hey, guys, people aren't around forever. Tell someone you love them. And somebody hit me back and goes, that goes for animals too. R.I.P., Gary.
Well,
thank
always,
you guys.
Thank you.
I love
man.
You both.
Love
and,
you too, buddy.
We
love
got you. To know you.
Jay a little bit more physically in the restaurant.
always, brother.
Always.
Dude, please, one more time, promote whatever you'd like, your dates, your podcast.
Second
of 14 Legs is happening right now. DanielVanKirk.com at Daniel Van Kirk on Twitter and probably Facebook, and then also
probably
I don't know, and then definitely Instagram as well. So just hit me up on there. And thanks to every single person that comes out to shows. I had guys take a picture with me who were feasters. One of them had a switchblade, and the other had brass knuckles, and they were like, "Let's take this photo."
Sounds like my type
I'm not
of guy.
Joking. That was in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I love everybody that's ever listened to me on this. I think I started out by telling you how much I love the show, and that still holds true. The only thing that's gotten bigger is how much I love both of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Always been a pleasure over the years having you, and we love you to death. As always, JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.